I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
I'm just sad. Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out, where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax, it's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. This is awesome, and I'm excited because I did just confirm these guys are father-son, as far as they both know, and excited to just get their story and sort of hear their journey through F3 as, you know, father-son. You know, a lot of us maybe have kids, but are different ages, so getting to go through some of this stuff with your son would be really cool, I hope, or I imagine. Maybe they have some stories that tell us otherwise, but also these guys were recently site Qs at Ironwood, so a site kind of in the east part of town, but handed that off in February, and so I've got Rocket and Hipster on with me today, and guys, I don't know, it'd be kind of interesting to hear the dynamics here, but I don't know which one of you wants to go first with sort of your EH story, or did one of you EH the other? Would love to just sort of hear how'd you get involved, and then would love to also hear the story of the first workout and how you got your nicknames.
Summer 2000. But I was telling how much fun it was. I was talking about it to Mike, and then I think Tater Tot takes credit online for EHing Rocket, but I know I was telling him about it before Tater Tot ever mentioned it. So I'll take credit at the end for that.
Yeah. And Hipster, tell us your, how'd you get started, Hipster? I guess that's a good story. I don't know if guys all really know that.
Well, I'm Hipster because I had a hip replacement in 2018. And so I had to quit running pretty much for working out. So during COVID, I was walking early in the morning, and we lived south of Dodge Street, close to Happy Hollow. And I was out at 5:30 in the morning walking for exercise because there wasn't much else I could do. So I walk up through Memorial Park because it's such a nice place to walk. I see all these guys on the hillside or on the steps. And some of them are running up the hills and some are running up the steps and doing push-ups and stuff. I thought, well, that's good for them. And I get up there. And now I know it was slow pitch. And hey, why do you do? Oh, I started running steps and doing push-ups up there, you know, just back and forth. The slow pitch season says, hey, why don't you join us? We're doing the same thing. I didn't know who they were. And slow pitch says, I said no because it wasn't a hard enough workout for me. But really, it was just because I didn't know who these guys were. And so I walked home, and that was a Thursday. So the next Thursday morning at 5:30, I'm doing the same thing, and these guys were up there again. I thought, well, what is this? Maybe it's a regular thing. A Tater Tot grabbed me and says, hey, come on. We saw you last week. We're doing the same thing you are. So he talked me into running up the steps and doing cals with you guys. And, oh, I had my hands on my knees. I was just exhausted because I hadn't run in 2 years. And then we do the Namorama. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it because I like working out anyway. But we did Namorama for the FNG. And they said, tell me a little bit about yourself. So one of the first things I said was, I got a fake hip 2 years ago, so I'm not going to be running as much as you guys. And somebody, I don't know who, yells out, Hipster, that just stuck. So I thought that sounded like a good thing.
That's great. And so did you kind of know from the beginning, you're like, I think I ought to get my son out here and, or did you kind of test the waters a little bit before you invited him out?
No, Mike and I have worked out together since he was, actually, I think we started running together when he was about 10 or 11. Okay. And we worked out together when Mike was in high school and college. No different, not always regularly, because Mike was in Chicago for 9 years. So we've always liked working out and playing sports. And I coached some of his youth teams, or was more accurately the adult in charge on a soccer team. It's not really about soccer. I helped with little league, but we've always played sports and worked out together. So it wasn't hard to convince Mike to take a try at it, I didn't think. So, and then he can tell you how he got involved. But I remember I kept saying how much fun it was, and I'm getting back in shape. It was just fun working out with anywhere from 10 to 25 or 30 guys in the morning, and you feel all energized going to work, and it's just fun. I've met a zillion people through F3 that I never would have met otherwise.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I remember, I don't know if it was the first time you were there, but back in those days, we didn't have too many Thursday sites, and I actually lived, 78th and Pacific area. So I would frequent, would have been Futurama at the time. And so I remember, being around there and it's like, anytime we're in a park and we see somebody else working out, sort of, we all dream of like, oh, let's get that guy to come. But you actually stayed. I remember that being sort of like, wait a minute, he's back, and he's came back. And I noticed that you haven't, Hipster, you have not fully transitioned to calling your son Rocket. Is that, do you think that'll just take some more time, or?
It takes time, but I have to keep establishing that I am the father here.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You're Mike, my only son, your junior.
Well, Rocket, talk us through like your first workout, kind of what that was like. And then, how'd you get the nickname Rocket?
Yeah. Well, Hipster was telling me about it for almost 2 years, I think, until I started doing it. And we had about not too long after Hipster started, we had our first baby, and I wasn't thinking about getting up in the morning. And then, and then that baby just starts to just become an excuse not to get up at 5:30 and do it. And probably because it seemed a little intimidating. He's working out with all these guys, and he's got this, it's, you feel like you're going into the first day of school at a new school or something. You don't really know anybody. And then, it was Labor Day weekend, 2022, and I'd had a few beers, and we grilled out, and I think my wife Angie's parents were over, and my mom and dad were over for dinner, and you said something like, "We're not working tomorrow, are you?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Why don't you come to F3? This is probably 9 o'clock at night. It's dark." And so so dad picked me up the next morning, went, and it was I was not in shape. I was probably in the worst physical shape I'd been in. I mean, ever, probably. It was, I was not in shape. Because I'd stayed in, I'd never been, Mr. Ironman or anything, but I always tried to stay in decent shape. I like to run. I like to do push-ups. I like to stay in decent shape, but I was not, anything probably really much in a couple of years, besides the occasional jog. And so, it was a Murph, and it was hard. I did the laps. I did both big laps around Memorial. And I remember Stitch was there. Sparty was there. Diddy was leading. But it did stick out how everybody was just so encouraging. I thought that was cool. I'm running up, and I'm very slow. I don't know if I was the six or not, but I was not leading the pack. Couldn't do any pull-ups. And all these guys you don't even recognize or don't even know or say, "Hey, great job, man." It was, I think I thought I was going into a real intense workout group with a bunch of serious guys that you'd see at the gym that never said hi. And then you're like, it's just kind of like it's just so friendly. I immediately knew I liked it, even though I was tired for sure. And, then at the end, I think they asked a couple of questions. That was Hipster's son, and they said, something, who's your favorite football player? And I said, Rocket Ishmael, who played for Notre Dame a long time ago. And Sparty was there, and he goes, Rocket. And so that was it.
That's stuck. So, that's a good, it's a pretty good name.
That's a pretty good one. I was actually a little concerned what I was going to come home with.
Could have been a lot worse. Yeah.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. Well, and gosh, I wonder if timing wise, if that was like the triple Murph that we do on Memorial Day? Was that your first, or were they doing three? Do you remember? Maybe
that's what I remember. It was just one. I don't remember guys doing a coffee or anything. I remember that. I just like they might have done the 5, 6, and 7 a.m. deal. Yeah. We went to the 6 o'clock or 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. That's super cool. Well, you know, so talk me through, I guess, because hipster, it sounds like fitness has kind of always been maybe part of your life. Talk me through that, just sort of like if you remember, how did you get to where you kind of had that routine down? And then what was that like kind of bringing your son along as he grew up?
I've always liked to try to keep fit. I mean, when I was a kid, I think I had a lot of nervous energy and never sat still a whole lot. And I sucked at any sport that involved a ball. But I could tackle a football, but I couldn't catch. I was always kind of almost on the edge of being a good athlete, but I couldn't play basketball or baseball. I played football and ran track in high school. And wrestling, I started in ninth grade, and that was something I was always good at. And you got to be in shape to wrestle. There's just no two ways about it. So started that in high school, and I'd been practicing on my brothers and kids in the neighborhood for 15 years. So that was just a natural sport for me. I just loved it. So I kept doing that. And I liked to work out anyway. And that wrestling gives you a reason to keep working out because there's just no two ways about it. If you're not in shape, you can't go 2 minutes with anybody if they're good or bad. So that's always in the back of my mind as a motivator. Even now, I kind of compare it to, you know, what's a good wrestling workout? And these three workouts are good. I mean, I'm not 60 anymore, but they're kind of a challenge at 72. But it's fun. It's the workout and the camaraderie. And it's just, I was really lucky to stumble on it, I think, because it's been so much fun. And I've met literally 100 people that I didn't know before, and you become friends with them. And it's a way to keep in shape, too. And I used to work on my way home from work sometimes, which I'd go to Genesis, and my wife hated that because I get home at 7 or 7:30 at night, and she'd hold dinner. And now she loves it when I'm home at 6:30 or 6:45, and the workout's out of the way, and I bring her a latte. I bribe her with that.
There you go. That is a pro tip right there for guys that are listening. What was it like coming into this group and being, because when you joined, you would have been late 60s, right?
67.
Was there anything, did you have any thoughts of like, I don't know, these are a bunch of young guys, or how did you navigate that being one of our more experienced PAX members?
I figured the running part I was going to be left behind because I hadn't been doing it, but the push-ups and pull-ups and stuff, I'd been doing that all my life, so I wasn't worried about that, and the burpees and the calisthenics. I mean, that's half of wrestling training. So that honestly wasn't that big a problem. And I was wiry and skinny as a kid. Pull-ups were never really hard, and that's just the way you come. So, plus it was just, so the running part was the hardest for me. Just had to build it up to that. But the rest of it was just fun. It's the kind of workout I like to do on my own anyway. So it's just fit real well with that three.
That's how I hope that I can say that same thing when I'm in my 60s. I don't know, Rocket, I guess I would be curious, was your dad always a fitness guy? Like, as you look back, you remember him just always sort of wanting to be active and doing stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a day, I don't know, I can't remember a day where dad didn't work out or try to work out or find him. It was just part of the routine. I think that's why, you know, hipster can go do F3 at 67 and because he's been doing it. Like, none of this, everything we do in an F3 workout is not, but that's what you've been doing since you were, at least since I was born, when you were 30, whatever, 35 or something. So, we used to actually, it's funny, like growing up, like, you know, it'd be a Saturday afternoon or something. It was almost always in the afternoon. And I'd be laying around watching TV and I could just sense it. I'm like, I know dad's going to come and ask mom to go for a run. And we would always, it was funny. It was always an afternoon thing. It was always 4 o'clock or on vacation, wherever we'd be up at Lake Michigan and, middle of the afternoon and dad would want to go, we'd go run along the beach it was usually running. We'd run over to UNO, do push ups and pull ups and he's always been able to do pull-ups and push-ups, but I loved it. It's a, I think part of it, you know, we were the only guys in the house. It was my two sisters, my mom, and my dad and me. And so it was always, you know, we'd work out and just talk about whatever, usually, yeah. You know, sports or life or whatever it is. And I mean, some of my earliest memories of going down to the basement and the hipster would be lifting weights or doing push-ups. And he had every Iowa Public Television wrestling meet almost ever videotaped on VHS. So I'd come down and it'd be like the 1987 Iowa State duel, which is a very narrow group of people that are super interested. But we'd be watching that, tell me all about it. And then my sisters would come down and be like, you know, as soon as they come downstairs, they go right back upstairs. So it was kind of like our spot and it was a thing that we always did together.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was just a bonding thing. So I always enjoyed it, even if I didn't. I don't think I've ever liked working out as much as my dad does. I don't know. I enjoy it, but I think I've always been a little more. I have an easier time being lazy, I think, than dad does. I don't have the nervous energy, maybe. But once you get going, like F3's been, I tell people it's probably been the best thing for my physical and mental health I've done, and you know, since going to high school or college, for sure. It's just, I think it's, you know, the fitness is great and the fellowship is great, but it's just fun. Like, it's just, I mean, I find myself going back, not because I want to get the workout, which I do, but I want to go talk to Joe Buck or, you know, Slope. I mean, or guys that, you just want to go say hi to, because they're just fun people to see and be around.
Yeah. That's so cool. I love just hearing that was always a part of your life, you know, both of your lives, but you know, it's really cool to just hear how it became this vehicle for your relationship, you know, because I think that we see that in F3, right? And I don't know, I guess hipster, do you remember back in the day, was it tough to get rocket up and moving, or was there
Not as a kid, like Mike said, he's usually in the afternoon and more so on weekends and other times. But remember one time it was a weekend and we used to go over to UNO because the field, you could usually get in it most of the times. If the gate wasn't open, we'd just slide through the fence. Mike and his two sisters, Bridget and Megan, would come with us and they could all slide through the crack in the fence where the gate was. And I climbed over it. We're over there one time. We're the only people on the track. The security guard comes over and says, "Hey, you guys trespassing." They didn't break in. They just slid through your gate. Your gate here opens this wide. Is it really closed if you can get through the gate? So he kicks us out and he walks us over to the fence and he unlocks it. And he said, "You don't have to lock it. We got in here. We can get out and say we got in." But he's balling us out like we're thieves or something. And kids and I go away laughing. So we I don't know if we broke a law, but I just remember that. You're in an empty football meeting with a big, beautiful field, and you can't go in and run a few laps without
That's being kicked funny. Up by the
overeager.
Were you a lawyer? Were you a lawyer at that time, or not yet?
Yeah, I was breaking. I knew what the penalty was.
Like, it could have been an attractive nuisance or some other sort of legal term, right? You could have thrown out. Yeah.
The guy had a gun, though. I don't know what was in it. We didn't urge him to pull the gun, right? We didn't tease him.
I love it. That's really cool. You know, I guess just thinking about kind of the first half, right? Physical fitness. It sounds like you guys feel like you're in F3 and you're at least maintaining or getting to kind of continue to pursue some of your fitness goals. I guess I would be curious, like hipster, something I'm thinking about with your story is just the kind of getting back into that routine after a major surgery, like hip surgery. Do you feel like you're getting back to sort of pre-surgery mobility and all that?
Because I felt I couldn't run anymore. The doctor who did my hip didn't say don't run, but he said it's not going to be like it was before. So I think the first or second workout after I started it, we're at Memorial Park, and I went to Othello at the top of the stairs. Everybody else went down and across the bridge and running through the park. And I said, "I'll just meet you guys back here." And Othello was nice enough to just run stairs with me. I said, "Othello, you can go with them. I just don't want to run that far." So we just did stairs for 15 minutes while the rest of the group was there. And And then bit by bit, I tried running shorter distances, and it turned out it didn't bother me as long as I, you know, try to sprint it because of run on the grass. It's just by my own non-medical perspective, as long as I don't put a whole lot of pressure and impact on that hip, it should last a while. But I haven't told the surgeon that I'm jogging. He might say don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be told no.
Right. So then you don't ask about it. Don't tell, you know, no, I, you know, listen to your body.
Well, right? I learned that I could do it again by going slowly. Somebody's always picking up the six. So you're not working out by yourself.
That's cool.
Good for me, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. My dream is always to, I don't necessarily care about running really fast right now. I just want to be able to run some sort of pace, some sort of distance, at, you know, into later years in life. So it's encouraging just to hear, you know, if I stick with it, don't overdo it. It sounds like there's maybe some hope there. But, you know, Rocket, you mentioned earlier too, and I think a lot of guys go through this, right, especially with young kids, just sort of this phase of life where you're like, I don't have time, I don't have energy, and I don't have the desire, right? When I have a few minutes, I'm not really thinking about getting up and working out. What's that been like for you the last couple of years, sort of getting back into that routine, really cementing some of those habits for you and your family?
I should have been surprised. I was surprised at just how much better I felt once I got it. You know, after doing F3 for about a month or 6 weeks, and you finally get your wind and you can at least keep up. I felt just rolling around on the floor with and now we have two little kids. I've gotten out of shape the last few months and not going as much because we had our daughter in August. But when I was going, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and I'm going to get back there eventually. It's just taking a little time with real young kids. It's tough, but, you know, you can roll around the floor with them and get up and feel really good about getting up. I mean, just, you know, holding a 1 year old in your arms and getting up off the floor from sitting down. It's amazing how much better I was doing it when I was working out in F3. And that stuff that helps your mental health too. You just feel better. I think, you know, you could probably do an F3 podcast with spouses. And maybe my wife, I do think she would say in general though, that I'm probably in a better mood and more enjoyable to be around when I've worked out. I'm working out consistently. I think I'm happier. And I think the fellowship part is big. That's been really the big thing is you don't realize how, at least I didn't, just how focused you get on work and home. And all of a sudden, you know, all my friends we're all doing our own thing, but we might text each other, but I don't actually go see a group of guys that are my friends every day. And, you know, everybody who's done F3 for a while knows that, you know, you can go, you know, good looking and I would go pre-run all the time, and I get between 5 and 6:15 a.m. I have a conversation with a good friend of mine. I see my dad. I work out. I mean, like there's a very good mental boost to the day. And then you get home and you take a shower and you feel good. It's just a huge, huge benefit that I think when I hear people say, well, I don't want to get up. I'm not going to get up at 5 a.m. It's like you don't realize how much you're missing out on until you actually get into it. Because we do need that camaraderie. You need it as everybody does. The whole, any human being does, but especially I think guys in their middle age, which is most of us, you just get so, there's so much stuff going on that you've got to carve out that time. Otherwise you're going to miss it.
Yeah. That's well said. I think the thing I have really come to enjoy every kid that we've had, I take some time off, you kind of readjust, and then you go back and it's like you pick up right where you left off, right? There's not like this reorientation process or, you know, it's just really cool to be able to feel like I'm still a part of it, even if my ability to post regularly changes based on life, you know? And that's, I think, it's always meant a lot to me that like I can get back out there and I know it'll be, you know, and the guys will be happy to see me. And most of the time, they're not giving me too much of a hard time about not posting, although occasionally that's there, but in good spirit, right? So I think that's been really cool. You know, the fellowship piece, and I'm glad you brought that up. I would be curious, How did that, you know, I guess, Hipster, maybe start with you. Like, how did you kind of start building relationships? Did you find yourself going to coffee, or did you wait till Rocket came out? And I mean, I don't know, talk me through that. Like, how did you kind of get to know some of the guys that were out there?
I tried to go to at least, you know, once a week, but the group, whatever it was, you know, wouldn't make me late in the morning. And I started realizing right away, I don't think I could articulate it, but I started realizing right away how many relationships I was, new relationships I was making, how fun it was. And then I read Free to Lead, and I never thought of this before, but it said, guys don't go out and make friendships like girls do. You know, the women, they'll play bridge or mahjong or just, you know, have coffee together. But guys after college or high school stop generally widening their circle of friends, unless you're on a pickup basketball team or rugby team, something like that. But from the time Mike and his sisters were little, I didn't have that group of friends to, you know, go out and see every day or once a week even. You know, I didn't play cards or go out that much. So I'm reading this book after I've been in F3 two or three years. I think, wow, that's true. If I, you know, I have friends at work, but I don't hang around them after work generally. And it's just a pleasure. Like Rocket said, what a great way to start the day when you've seen 20 or so people you consider friends and you have a good workout and you're laughing and nobody's taking anything real seriously. It's just, but I really made some good friendships out of it. And, you know, guys you feel comfortable talking to, and we see them at, you know, those picnics, I'll call them, down at Stinson Park or the you know, big Saturday. I missed the convergence, but that sounded a little too strenuous for me right now. But all the events that F3 has, it's just been so much fun. And I realized I hadn't been making any new friends for a long time, and F3 has changed.
Do you? That's interesting to me. Do you think? So that concept in Free to Lead sounds like it was maybe sort of newer, or just maybe that thought process reading the book kind of helped remind you, hey, I need to get out there and make, you know, keep building new relationships. It sounds like that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it, and what was true was that F3 does that automatically. I mean, it was F3 was a great way to make new relationships. And, yeah, I've seen guys all over town. I saw Buns of Steel at ID one day, and you see, hey Buns, how you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah, you know, Buns of Steel was in my wedding actually, so it's a small world. Yeah, oh yeah, he looked like Steven Seagal, and I, you know, it was a glorious time. But we're much younger then. But anyway, I, you know, what's so cool to me is just hearing you talk through. Like, this is why it's open to all men, right? And it's like, you know, because there's really no age that I at least that I've seen or that I've found where like you become exempt from needing some of these basic things that F3 just provides every day, right? It's, and you know, just easy access to these really important things, which is super cool. Rocket, talk us through your sort of second effort fellowship journey. Were you like, how did you kind of navigate with your dad bringing you out? Did you feel like you were able to easily form some of your own friendships, or did you feel like you kind of had to tag along, or how'd you work through that?
It's been really smooth. I loved playing team sports in high school. I played football poorly, but I loved being on the team. And it was just like, when I say, what was your favorite part of high school football? My answer is probably the bus rides, the locker room. But like, it's true. Like, I'm serious. It really was all the camaraderie that's built through going through tough physical things. It's the same as F3. So, I mean, it didn't take me long to just form some friendships with a lot of guys and relationships with, you know, gosh, there's dozens of guys in F3 that immediately, especially on the east side, that I would see at Futurama and Ironwood and Cornhusker. But I think what helped, it's tough to get to coffee with my schedule, just with juggling kids and everything. The mornings are busy, so I don't go to coffee often, maybe once every 2-3 weeks. But what did help, what was fun, was pre-running. I pre-ran Shirley, and again, I've dropped out of it since Eleanor was born, and I'm looking forward to get back into it. But I mean, I ran Shirley every Tuesday morning for I don't know, a year and a half, and it'd be
wow.
Me and good looking and Stitches. And Stitches would say hi.
Take off.
And it'd be done. But you know, that was a fun. It's, you can't beat a jock or somebody for 25 minutes. Like that's a, it's one of the best conversation vehicles out there. And that's what, you know, I think that's one reason my dad and I are very close. And that's, you know, we would jog all the time growing up. And that's been fun to do that with other guys. And then having dad there, I don't think I tag along with, I haven't tagged along with Hipster at all. I think he's introduced me to a lot of people and it's been fun. Like, I remember being at one workout after I just started it, and Frosty's like, "Are you Hipster's kid?" And it was like immediately, you know, that was, I was cool with Frosty because I was Hipster's kid. But I think it's definitely helped. But so we probably expanded each other's circles, just meeting new people. But yeah, I would say free running was really helped. And then also just being friendly. And F3 makes it so easy to do that. You know, and also when we were PsyQs at Ironwood, you feel an obligation to, you know, say hello to people, and you want to make sure everybody feels welcome. Because I think some people do come, and they come once, and they maybe don't have a, they still feel a little bit, they'll feel awkward and they don't come back. And I think we need to do a good job of every time we have a new guy out there, really making sure they understand that, you know, we're excited to see them and that we're not a clique. We're an inclusive club. We're not clicky. And I think sometimes we probably can appear that way with our goofy names and stuff. So it's important to remember that when there is a new person to, like as Slow Pitch says, like you can use your first name sometimes. It's okay to say hello. Put somebody in.
It's so interesting is, I think it appears like we have these tight cliques, but it's really just we've gotten so used to being able to be vulnerable and ask, you know, like I ask questions to an F3 guy that I don't really know that well, but I'll ask him a question that I would never just go up to a stranger and ask. And so then it comes off like, wow, you guys must know each other really well. And it's like, no, not really. You know, it's just they're here. So I figured they're open to, you know, having some of these conversations. But yeah, you know, you mentioned not being able to go to coffee and the pre-run being a good substitute. And I think you're spot on. I mean, and even if, you know, if you can't run, if you can ruck or, but just getting out there and get shoulder to shoulder, I think is really where it's at, whether that's coffee or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, the other kind of space where we like to kind of talk through is the, within the Concentrica, right? So as you're thinking about fellowship and just kind of the other relationships in life, you know, I'm hearing a little bit of just like F3 has continued to help your relationship, sort of father-son relationship, but would be curious as you look at like your marriage and relationship with other kids, how has that been? Has there been an impact there? It sounds like maybe a little bit rocket. You mentioned maybe being in a better mood, but talk me through that.
If you haven't asked my wife, if I've been a better husband through F3, I think it's helped me just be more, one, in a better mood and in a better mind space because I feel good. But then also just, I think one of the huge benefits of F3 is you hear all these guys in so many COTs talk about, you know, things they're going through in life and dealing with stresses and, whether it's a job or something going on with their family or something, but you hear things and it makes you reflect on, well, how am I treating my wife? How am I treating my kiddos? And how am I, you know, treating my coworkers and doing at work? So I think sometimes it's just, it gives you a good perspective because I notice if I'm not working out, you can lay in bed in the morning from 5:30 to 6:30 and just think of all the things that you need to do and all the things that are not going, you know, perfect in your world. You get so focused on yourself that you realize that, you know, some of these little things aren't a big deal and you need to stop and you get out of that. And I think, you know, and then when I do get in a better mind space, I think I'm nicer and more considerate to my am and to my kids and to people I work with. So yeah, I think it's been a huge benefit. But you were, you know, we're always a work in progress. You know, there's no end goal really. But I think I'm definitely a happier person when I'm doing F3 consistently than I'm not unhappy when I'm not, but I think I'm moved in a better mindset when I am doing it.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, and, you know, I think to your point, you know, it's a nice enhancement when we get to do it. Right. But like you said, you're still, everybody's a work in progress, right? It's, you know, but it never fails. I will be all focused on my own problems. And then whatever that COT is, just will hit me of like, oh man, all of a sudden my problem is like tiny compared to what somebody else might be going through or what somebody asked for prayers on. You know, I'll never forget, hearing about Sputnik or hearing about, Barbershop's daughter, or, you know, the countless number of guys that have shared challenges, right? And you just sort of think like, okay, all of a sudden my stuff is really small, you know, that really helps for sure. What about you, hipster, as you think about that? And how cool to hear your son's perspective on some of this stuff. I guess I would be curious, like, what's been your take as you're sort of watching these relationships grow?
It's been fun. I've met some of Mike's friends and got to know him better. Good looking, primarily, because he just amazed me. I don't think he worked out that often ever before. F3, but Mike and Rocket and Good Looking ran a half marathon in Des Moines last year, the year before, and he's doing the pre-runs, and he's become a site queue, and he's done a ton of queues. And we've tried to get some more of Rocket's friends involved, but they don't always come back.
Can't win them all.
But the thing you mentioned about the importance of the COTs, those just blow me away, because you hear what somebody's going through and you hear somebody's perspective on something, and you think, you know, we don't know each other all that well until we're talking, and you hear what somebody's going through and you hear their view of life or what they're working on, you think, wow, I never knew that guy was thinking that deep or had problems like that or was thinking about other people. Just the COTs are such a wonderful part of F3 and the prayers afterwards. It's just, I'm always amazed and impressed with what we hear in a COT. Even if somebody tries to make it funny, they still make it meaningful and prayerful at the end. It's just, it's such a short part of the beatdown. It's also right after Namorama, which is usually gets everybody laughing or in a good mood. But it's just been a great organization, and that's a key part for fellowship and faith, I think, is the COT and the prayers at the end.
Yeah.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today. Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
Yeah, talk me through, kind of think about the faith piece. Talk me through kind of your journey from a faith perspective. I, you know, hipster, I would be curious, you know, from your perspective, did you grow up some sort of foundational belief system or anything that you practiced that you sort of tried to hand off to your son, Rocket, or what's that been like for you guys as a family?
Well, I grew up Catholic. My mom and dad were Catholics. I'm second of 8 kids, and there are folks that always gone to church, and to me, it's always a part of my life, you know, from being an altar boy to trying to believe everything you heard from the teachers in grade school, and went to a Catholic high school and Catholic college. So I've never let that slip away. I think after law school for a few months, when I quit going to mass, thinking probably just being skeptical, you know, do I really need this? And after about 2 months or 6 weeks, I thought, well, I'm just doing this because I'm lazy. There's no good reason. It parts of my faith, so I got back into it, and I've been pretty good about following the church rules since then. I believe in it too. You got to believe in something, and I think, at least for me, the Catholic faith is, you know, tremendously strong. If you go through a tragedy in your life, or even something really hard, like the death of a parent or the death of a close friend, your faith helps you. I remember a buddy of mine, we lived in Colorado Springs for 5 years, and a buddy of mine out there was going through a nasty divorce, and then his best friend gets killed in a race car crash. And he called me up one night and wanted to go out to Pancake House to talk. He was just crying. He said, you know, I don't have anything to fall back on. He says, I don't have the faith like you do, and I just feel alone. And I said, well, you know, try this, Doug. And I don't know how it worked out in the end for it, but just the emptiness he felt when he lost his wife and was in danger of losing his kids and lost his best friend, just was empty. And just as a practical matter, having a faith can help you get through something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think it's interesting. I would be curious if you remember that time, that sort of short period of feeling like you didn't need I'll call it organized religion or whatever, you know, to keep your connection with God. How did you work through that? Or was it just pure, you seem like an action oriented guy. So maybe it was just this, like, I feel like I'm being lazy on Sundays and I need something to do. But how did you work through that? Cause I get a sense for a lot of the guys we talk to, or maybe just in a season of life where they're, you know, they grew up in some sort of faith system and are maybe looking for, how do I kind of like work through that? But curious your thoughts there.
Well, to me, it boiled down to I was just being lazy. I had a lot of friends that weren't going to church anymore. And I thought, well, you know, do I really need this? And for about 6 weeks, I didn't go. And then I thought, you knothead, you're just being lazy. That's the only reason you're doing this.
Okay.
But around, I had another good friend from high school who we didn't go to college together, but we keep in touch. And we were talking once when we were home for Christmas. And, you know, was he going to Mass on Christmas? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, it just doesn't do much for me. And I wanted to say, well, how much are you putting into it? It's not like you're going to the bank and somebody hands you money. You got to put something into your faith to get something out of it. And it just stuck with me. That's how he was looking at it. I thought, I've never really looked at it that way, because I definitely get things out of it, but you also have to put something into it to get that payback.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's really good insight. I would be curious, Rocket, what's been your journey? Do you feel like it sounds like you grew up in a Catholic home, but what's been your journey as you've kind of gotten married, had kids, gotten busier with life? How are you doing with your faith journey?
Yeah, it's important to me. I think, I was raised Catholic. We always went to Mass. We never, it wasn't an option to miss Mass growing up. It was a core part of our family life, was going to church every week. And it wasn't just church. There was definitely a strong faith in the house, even though we weren't necessarily wear it on your sleeve in public all the time, or it wasn't that way, but it's always been a part of my life. And I mean, similar to Hipster, I've had, moments in my 20s where I pretty consistently almost always went to Mass in college, because it was just there. I went to a Catholic school. It was in the dorm. And actually, it was a very, in a lot of ways, it was a lot of fun, because it was very, you went with all your buddies from school, and you'd go to the dorm Mass at 10 o'clock at night. And it was, there was a social aspect to it, which was some of the glue that kept you going at an age where it's easy to. And I'd say, especially in my early 20s, I would go, but then I would miss, because I would be hungover or you'd be tired. And then it was like, it's easy when you're 24 and 25 to be just kind of whatever, wasn't a priority. Even though I think to myself, like, I should go, but I just didn't get up. But as I gotten older, it's become more of something where I feel like it's it's not just, going to Mass every week is important to me, but also just, and this is where I think with F3 has been good, is the world does not revolve around me. And I think that's at the core of a lot of, whether you're Catholic or, whatever religion you are, a lot of it, a lot of the teachings are about, it's not just you, it's what can you do for others? What can you, are you thinking of other people instead of thinking of yourself all the time? So,
you know, while F3 is not, it doesn't replace church for me. I don't feel that way. I think that I hear that sometimes. I don't identify with that. I don't think it's different than going to church on Sunday. But it is a great way to see that there is a whole world out there of guys who are facing all kinds of issues and have all kinds of different beliefs, but, you can still understand, you can learn a lot from them, but you also can gain a lot of empathy and understanding of what people are going through that. I think if I wasn't an F3, I wouldn't be as aware of that all the time, because yes, I think it's made, I've noticed it just, I'm a little more apt to give the benefit of the doubt to somebody at work that might be kind of a jerk, or somebody is you just kind of like, what's their deal? And I think sometimes I think of all the stuff I hear in F3 and I'm like, well, they might be going through something you don't even know about. So I think that has informed a lot of the way I look at, you know, how I see the world. And I think that's helped me in my faith life too. Just to be a little more understanding and empathetic of people. So it's been great. I think it goes hand in hand with, you know, having a strong faith, because we've had some, my wife and I have some challenges with childbirth over the last couple of years, and it's, and with having a baby, you've got to have something a little bit bigger than yourself to fall back on. And that's definitely true. So
for sure. Yeah, you're spot on. And you know, I remember back in the early days, No Doze, I don't know if you remember him, but he's one of our Redwoods. He started Futurama, but he would always say, before F3, I would be at the grocery store, I'd see another guy, and I'd think, like, I'm sure that guy's a jerk. And then after F3, he'd be at the grocery store, see another guy, and be like, I think that guy would like F3, you know? And so he started, like, you just, like you said, you kind of have a different perspective, maybe some more empathy that everybody's going through something. So I love that. And as I'm hearing the two of you talk, I can't help but just see this really cool picture, sort of like it. And I can't remember the verse, but sort of generational blessings, right? Right. And you sort of think of, like, you know, hipster, you've basically been doing F3 your whole life, right? We just didn't have it in this package, right? And then you start passing this down to your son, and you just see this really cool picture where your relationship, I think, is a really, really great example of, you know, it's father-son, but I think it's just a really great example of, like, how if we can create communities of men that are being vulnerable and sharing these things together, it just continues to compound as generations grow. And I don't know, it's just really cool to me. So I don't know if you guys feel that or not, but I see that in hearing your two stories, really something to be proud of. The other question kind of on this third F piece is sort of around, you know, so in F3, right, we kind of have, like, the spiritual faith, and then we also have a lot of, like, community service or community involvement. Have you guys had a chance to do much of that? I don't know, Rocket, if you're like me with young kids, that's kind of a challenge, but would love to hear, like, blood donations or any of the food drive stuff or food pantry stuff. You guys had a chance to participate in any of that?
Yeah, three schedules it, because depending on schedule, your 8 weeks don't light up. But I like doing that. And I did go once when the actual F3 day, where we had probably a dozen or more F3 guys out at the Nebraska Community Blood Bank out on Pacific Street. The people in there are laughing. They're saying, you know, you guys are racing each other. So-and-so gave his pint of blood in 4 minutes or something. Other guys, I'll be doing that. It was fun for the F3 guys and for the staff there. So it's just been really rewarding and a lot of fun. One funny story, I guess, meaningful. Mike was about 9 or 10 years old, maybe fifth grade. And I was going out for a run on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. I'm in my shorts and t-shirt, and I say to my wife, I'll be back in half an hour. I'm going to go run. And Mike's got his baseball cap on and t-shirt and shorts. And he says, Dad, can I go with you? I'm thinking, oh, shoot, I have to run about 2 miles an hour, and it's not going to be a real workout. And Kate looks at me, and I said, well, sure, Mike, let's go. So we went, and it was the smartest decision I ever made in my life. We've been working out ever since. It was fun, and we got to visit, and it made me realize there's you know, I don't have to have a good workout to be happy. And, and fast forward 8 or 9 years, Mike's a senior prep. He's played football. He's been on the wrestling team, and we're running up one of the steep hills at Elmwood Golf Course, and he's leaving me in the dust. He's just sprinting up this hill. I think by every Elwood T it is, but I'm just gassed and thinking, well, somebody's improved over all these years. But anyway, it's just something that we did for a long time and just really enjoyed doing it. But that I never forget that day that where I said, okay, we'll run with Mike.
Right. Yeah, I love that you said that. Hipster, because I think there are definitely days where I think I've got to have a good workout to be happy, you know, and I think sometimes that I have to remind myself that my priorities are sort of flipped inside out a little bit, and because I'll have my 3-year-old will be like, can I go for a run with you, Dad? And I'm same thing. You're like, well, there goes any sort of, you know, my heart rate's not going to get up, all that sort of stuff, and but I just put my vest on and toss her in the stroller, and then we go for a walk. And those have been some of the most beautiful mornings of my life, you know? And so I think that's super insightful that you shared that. I would be curious, you know, the other piece of this is our mission, right? To invigorate male community leadership. You guys got a chance to lead a site together. Would love to just kind of hear, talk me through that. What was it like getting to lead at Ironwood? And then the other kind of piece of this, would love to hear like maybe some advice that you have for guys that are leading, as well as kind of the succession planning portion of things. How did that go? He was just using your name for the brand. It was kind of a brand thing.
I mean, I think the number one thing needed to be is welcoming. Just welcome everybody. Just give the fist bump to everybody when they come and ask them their name, especially welcome the FNGs. I haven't been to a site yet that doesn't have a welcoming site queue. I think it's an amazing thing about F3. You know, we're a volunteer organization, and the amount of enthusiasm people have for it is really cool. I mean, I'm not in any other organization that has that level of just volunteer enthusiasm across the board. It's contagious. So I think that's, keep on doing that for all the site queues, and even if you're not site queue. But as far as organization of it, it kind of ran itself a little bit. You know, we'd find queues. I think Tater Tot only had to reach out once or twice to ask, hey, it's Sunday morning, where's your guy?
Who's on the queue? Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, they just don't ever talk, and we'd find queues, try to get a month in advance lined up, and that ran itself pretty well. And just being there, it was with two, it's not that bad. Yeah. Have somebody there. I don't have any great insight. I don't think we were like any, you know, above and beyond queues or anything like that. I would say succession planning. Don't have a baby around your year mark in F3. I remember that was, I think we had we took over on Labor Day weekend of whatever it was, 2023. And then I had a baby. My wife and I had our daughter Eleanor on basically the same day a year later. And so I was pretty much, I paid no attention to F3 for about the first 8 or 9 weeks after that. Yeah. And then came out of that fog, and we found a couple guys to take over. So. Yeah, it's been fun. And we identified Village Inn and Colossus Cloud, and I didn't realize just how eager they would be to take over. I didn't feel bad, but you kind of hesitate sometimes asking somebody to do that job because it is a responsibility. And they were they couldn't have been more excited to do it. And they took it, and it was really easy. And I actually kicked myself for not asking them earlier, because we probably held the flag for probably 15, 16 months, which was fine. It worked out great. But I was hesitant to ask people. And, you know, you don't realize just how eager people are to lead and take over, too.
And they were really eager. They've done a good job. They're still really enthusiastic. I think Colossus of Cloud, I think he's in his first year still. I don't think he's had his
anniversary. Yeah, I think it's coming up here.
Yeah. They're both real enthusiastic every Monday morning.
Nice.
Diligence a little too fast for me.
I just found out Colossus of Clout's mom, I think, goes to our church. Kind of a like weird roundabout way. It was like, you know, we were talking to somebody else in church about F3, and she was like, wait, I think my son does that. And, you know, sure enough, I got into PaxNet, looked him up, and that's Colossus of Clout. So that's small world. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, as we're thinking about the, like, you know, just leadership, succession planning, and, you know, also just kind of like current state where you guys are at, would love to get, sort of from each of you, like, where do you currently need support or encouragement or prayers, or if we see you out there, or maybe it's a text to get you out there, but where could the guys listen, sort of provide some encouragement or support for you guys?
From my wife and my kids, honestly, and from the COTs, and I like to read motivational stuff. I have a bunch of books about sports heroes, which, I mean, that sounds like what a teenager might read, but you read about these guys who've gone through incredible hardships. Like Tony Dungy's biography is really good. Rocky Byers. I just finished one on Eric Marcegia. Now, maybe most of the Nebraska fans wouldn't want to read that book. The old name called, but that was really good. He's gone through some really tough times, but just, and then, you know, being around the F3 people, being around my family, and then reading good stories about people who have gone through hardships, that motivates me a lot.
Nice. How about you, Rocket?
I don't think, you know, there's not one thing that I specifically that I, you know, would need encouragement on, other than just generally, you know, being a good husband and a good dad. You can always use encouragement there, because it's,
yeah,
you're just busy. I mean, there's a lot of two little kids and work, and you kind of, it's easy to fall into the just, you know, get your stuff done and not really be as present with your wife or with your kids. I think that's a thing I need to be reminded of, and F3's really helped with that. Is, you know, get off your phone. Live in the moment and not take that for granted, because all of a sudden you're you need to pay attention to your spouse and what your wife needs, and you need to, you know, make sure that you're treating her right, and your kids too. You need to make sure that you're doing right by them and not just taking it for granted that they're cute and little now, and all of a sudden you look up and you're, you know, the 1-year-old is 4.5, and you're like, where'd that go?
Yeah.
You just got to appreciate that moment. So sometimes just a reminder to, you know, it's always good to remind yourself to be present and, just enjoy what you have.
Heck yeah. That's really good advice. I needed to hear that. I think that's really good reminder for us.
Your kids, like,
oh, nine. Yeah, 9, 3, and 6 months. So,
wow.
My wife and I, we laugh at each other more, you know, because that's all you can do sometimes. You're just sort of like, I don't know, you know, you can't plan for everything. And I'm a planner. So God's kind of teaching me to let go of the plan, you know, put the phone down and just be present. And for whatever happens, you know, I think there's so many of those moments. But this has been really cool getting to hear you guys' story. You know, we normally don't do a lot of duo interviews, and so it's been really an honor to hear your story, and just really cool to just hear what your experience has been like. I would be curious, is there anything else that maybe we didn't cover that you would want to share? Anything that we missed, or pieces of your story you want to make sure guys hear as they're listening?
I think just keep on encouraging people to come out, because I, you know, if Tater Tot and Slow Pitch would not have encouraged Hipster, I don't think I would have found it. I mean, I might have heard about it from somebody, but Hipster was a pretty good EH. I knew as soon as he did it, I'm like, eventually I'm going to get out there. I'm not going to just not do this. I want to try it out because if dad likes it so much, there must be something to it. So I think, you know, just reminding people how much fun it is and how great it is for your mental and physical well-being. It's not just getting up at 5 a.m. to work out. Like that's not a big deal. You can do that. But you're missing out if you just let that keep you from doing it. I think just encouraging guys to come out and join us and give it a shot.
Heck yeah. Well, this has been awesome, fellas. Let's we'll do a little name-a-rama here, close us out. I'll start us off. Brandon Fleaherty, 39, the plague.
Rich Kaloon, 72, hipster.
Hipster. Respect.
Mike Kaloon, 40, rocket.
Rocket. And do they do like
something like that?
Yeah. And hipster, we have to say too many respects after your name. We can't come up with any sort of call sign, right? I think that
I'd be amazed if there's four respects in a few years.
Hey, I can't wait for that.
I can't see that happening. That's really
cool. Appreciate you, fellas. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. You too.